Old Testament reading this morning will come from Isaiah chapter 8. Please open your Bibles with me. If you have one of the Pew Bibles, you can find this on page 638. Isaiah chapter 8. We'll begin in verse 19. Isaiah 8:19. When someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritualists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? Consult God's instruction and the testimony of warning. If anyone does not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged, and looking upward will curse their king and their God. Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. Turn with me now to the New Testament. Matthew chapter 2. We just read the Luke part of the Christmas story. Now we're going to read the Matthew part. Matthew chapter 2. On your Pew Bibles, this is on page 890. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you, Lord, that you speak to us even today. And Lord, we pray that as you speak to us, you would also give us the gift of opening our hearts to you so that we can receive your word with joy. Amen. Well, Merry Christmas. So I wanted to start things off maybe a little bit differently today. I was kind of thinking we are getting close to the end of the year, obviously, and you know, it's kind of a big one this time because we are entering into a new decade. We're going into 2020, and I was kind of trying to think to myself, what would this new decade be like? What kind of new things would this decade bring? I mean, the past decade has brought a lot of things I think none of us would have ever expected. And it got me thinking a little bit about how maybe some of the people in the past would have thought about what they would have seen in the future. And I managed to find, through some searching on the internet, I found these postcards that were produced at the turn of the last century, so in 1900, I found there were some postcards that apparently were made by a German chocolate company that got sent in their chocolates, and they have pictures of how they imagined the 2000s to be. Now, we've now lived through the 2000s, so we know what it was actually like, so we can see how close their predictions were. And in that same year, in the French World Fair, they did something similar. So here are just a few. I picked out some of my favorites for you to kind of take a look at and laugh at with me. So naturally, we're all going to be flying around in our own personal flying machines, right? I mean, who doesn't do this? Okay, yeah, I don't. I'm just like, what were they thinking? I like how they have the guy version and then the girl version. You notice? It's smart. All right. Not so good on that one. This one was pretty good, too. I liked this. This one is, well, they thought, you know, weather is a big problem. We don't like it when it rains. So we're just going to build giant roofs over all of the cities. That'll be great. Okay, I haven't really seen that one either. Not a bad idea, though. Now, this one made me wonder, why did they come up with the last one? Because we can't. If you can read the German down here, this is a machine that can control the weather. They're like, well, apparently weather was a huge problem for the Germans in the 1900s. I don't know what was going on, but it was bad news. And so they invented this machine that controlled the weather. This one actually makes clouds, right, so that you can go and water your crops. That's pretty good. I wish we could do that. You guys know I come from a farming family. If we came up with one of those things, whoo boy, that would be something. Don't have that. Now, this one was great. This is great. This is how we're all going to get around. See, these are electric roller skates. Now, this one was pretty spot on, I have to admit. They got that one. All right, so they're one out of, what, five, something like that? Okay, not bad. This one I also thought was pretty good. No longer will the maids of this world, you know, mom, sorry, mom, be required to, you know, vacuum and sweep the floors in the regular way. Now, this one, you know, you see this, I guess she's holding, I don't know exactly what she's doing here, but she still has to be there. We've gone one better, of course. You don't even have to be there anymore. They couldn't even imagine how amazing the 2000s would be. This one, oh man, this would be great, right? How is learning going to happen in the year 2000? So you just dump the books in, and I don't know, you turn them up somehow, and then they get zapped into your brains. Smartphone, anyone? I don't know. Maybe. Google? Is that what Google is? Kinda. All right, this one I really like, too. So you're 1900. They're trying to imagine, what is the future of entertainment? Well, obviously, the future of entertainment is you're going to have, you know, a live performance that is somehow going to be beamed, and you can have a party where you watch that performance, and then it gets phoned in. See, everyone has their own little, like, you know, thing to listen to it. So headphones, they're already thinking ahead. But this one is my favorite. What is she doing right there? What's she doing? I know exactly what she's doing. She's Netflix and chilling. Right? That's totally what she's doing. They saw it. They know it. These are some pretty good predictions, I thought. Here, we'll just leave it on the Netflix for now. That's good. In our scripture passage today, the people of Israel were also trying to make some predictions. They were also coming to a really pivotal period of time. We've talked about this during this past sermon series. They're kind of in this period of time where there's a lot of uncertainty in the world. There are a lot of invasions that are happening, and they're worried that they're going to be next. And so what's happening in this passage of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 8 leading into chapter 9, Isaiah is talking to them, and he's saying, you're trying to predict the future. Of course, how are they doing it? How are they trying to predict the future? Well, they're using kind of the methods of their day, which is to go to spiritual mediums, to go to the necromancers that would, you know, cut open a bird or something and look at its giblets and see what the future may hold. Now, we can kind of laugh at that, but the truth is, we'll talk about this a little bit, I don't know if we're all that much better. I mean, we kind of saw some of the imaginings of what the future would hold, and some of them were pretty close, but, you know, here we're just talking about technology. The truth is, we don't know what the future will hold. But here's the thing that I think is really interesting about this passage in Isaiah. Isaiah tells them, he says, if you use your methods of looking into the future, if this is the only thing that you can go by, what is it that you're going to see? If the only thing that you have to go by is your human understanding, even if you're using a spiritual medium, if you're looking through turkey giblets or whatever it is you're doing, if you only have a human perspective, what is it that you're going to see? Well, he tells us. He says, when someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritualists who whisper and mutter, shouldn't people inquire of God instead? But here's what he says they'll see. Distressed and hungry, they'll roam through the land. When they're famished, they'll become enraged, and looking upward, they'll curse their king and God. And then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom. This is what they would see, Isaiah says. If you only use your human perspective, if you look into the future from your human perspective, using all of the human tools available to you, what will you see? You will see distress and darkness and fearful gloom. Now, the truth is, yes, the times for Israel in this book of Isaiah, they were pretty bad, and so that probably was what they were foreseeing. But the truth is, if we think about our own lives, if we think about our own human perspective and our own human tools that we have to look into the future and see what the signs of the times are, the truth is, if we look at the signs of the times right now in 2019, the truth is that, yes, there may be some glints of goodness and love, but by and large, I think we would all admit that things don't look very good. Things don't look very good. And they never have. Human history has been dominated by violence and death. I think there have been several historians that have tried to count the number of years in recorded human history, this is just recorded human history, in which there has not been some sort of violent conflict somewhere. And basically the answer is none. There's not a single year in recorded human history in which there has not been violence or war or famine or death. The simple truth of the matter is, if we use our human perspective to look into the future, what is it that we will see? If we're really honest with ourselves, probably what we will see is gloom and darkness and fear. This is true not just out in the world, it's true even in our own hearts. In our own hearts, there's no shortage of darkness and fear. And in some ways, the depths of isolation and depression, addiction and suicide, these have become the new epidemic in our society, the new point of the darkness and the gloom of the human condition. Now, I know this is probably not what you're wanting to hear on Christmas morning, gloom and darkness and death and destruction, but I want us to see from our human perspective, what is it that we have to look forward to? And here's the thing, even if you're thinking to yourself, my life feels pretty good. I mean, I don't feel like it's all death and gloom and destruction. You know, I live in the suburbs. I'm doing all right. How's your life going to look like 50, 60, 70 years from now? From your human perspective, what do you have to look forward to? Just death. Destruction, ultimate darkness. In other words, if all we have is our human perspective, there is no hope. There's only death. That's all there is. I wonder if this is what the Magi were seeing in the stars as well. These wise men, as we kind of come to know what these Greek words mean, they were probably astrologers in what was Babylon. I think it's interesting, actually, that's one of the kind of interesting parallels. Here in Isaiah, what is the big concern that the people of Israel have? Well, it's Babylon. Babylon is coming to wreak havoc and destruction. And now here in the Christmas story, we once again are taken back to Babylon, but And probably these magi, they are descendants of the very same people who came and took Israel into exile. But here we have a different perspective. These magi, they're looking up into the stars, and now they are the ones who are trying to see what the future will hold. What is it that these wise men, these astrologers from Babylon, when they were looking up to heavens, what is it that they would see? Probably, if we're honest, they would also see distress and darkness and fearful gloom. Why else would they be looking up into the sky to see the future? Because the future seemed so uncertain to them. They needed something to hold on to. They needed to have some assurance of what would happen. But as they looked up into the sky, they saw the exact same thing that we do from our human perspective: darkness, death, and fearful gloom. Because that's what anyone with any wisdom would see. And here's the thing about this distress and darkness and the fearful gloom that we face. It's easy to become overwhelmed by it. It's easy to lose hope. If we stop distracting ourselves from what is really going on in the world, if we take our eyes off of our Netflix for just a moment, when we pull our heads out from the sand and we see what is really happening, what we see is a world that is every bit as broken as we feared. We realize that we are every bit as lost as we feared. And it's when we realize this, that is when the darkness can become overwhelming, when hope is extinguished, or as Isaiah puts it, when we are thrust into utter darkness. But in that darkness, something astonishing happens. A light appears. As the magi look up into the stars and they see only death and destruction and gloom, an unexpected light comes into view. A star shines in the darkness, pointing to something that the world, that the greatest predictors of the future of humanity, that they could never have predicted or imagined. That is what is so important to understand. This is something that is happening that no one could have ever predicted. The stars never looked like this before. There was never a star that traveled in quite this way. That's what brought the Magi's eyes to see this light happening. Something unexpected, something unpredictable was happening. Now, we don't know exactly what this star was that the Magi, that these three wise men saw, but it is clear that God had worked on their hearts in some way so that they knew that this star was important. And let me just pause for a second here and just say that this is one of my favorite parts of this story, because isn't that miraculous how God works? God meets the Magi in exactly the place where they are. He speaks to them in a language that they can understand, a language that we would say is completely heretical. Looking up to the stars to try to predict the future, what foolishness could that be? And yet that is exactly how God comes to them and speaks to them and gives them a hope. And that's exactly what we celebrate on Christmas. We celebrate that God has come to us exactly where we are so that we can finally understand just how much He loves us. So we can finally understand the hope that He's given us. Now, the Magi may not know all of this quite yet, but the star has appeared. The light has shined into the darkness. And at the very least, they knew that this was probably the most important event that would ever happen in their lives. And so they drop everything and they make this incredible journey to a foreign land. The light leads them through the dark, through the gloom. The light shines the way. The star lights the path. And in faith, they journey miles and miles to a foreign capital to find the king that this star is foretelling. And then, while they're searching for this child king, they see the star again. This star somehow leads them right to where Jesus is. And I love this point in the scripture. In verse 10 of Matthew chapter 2, What it says is when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. That's how the NIV translates it. And this is one of those cases where, again, it pays to be able to dig into the Greek, because the Greek says something much bigger, I think, than what we read here. It's not just that they were overjoyed. It's something closer in the Greek to when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. In fact, if we're going to be perfectly honest, the Greek word there that's translated great joy, it's megalon. So in other words, it's not great joy, it's mega joy. They rejoiced exceedingly with mega joy, like a child unwrapping that longed for Christmas gift, like a bride on the day of her wedding. That is how excited the Magi are when this light appears in their darkness. It's as if somehow they knew that in this child, all of their hopes, all of their needs, all of their longings have finally been fulfilled. When darkness is all that you've known, and a light suddenly pierces through the gloom, that is joy. That is awesome, wondrous, fearful joy. And we see this joy throughout the Christmas story. Here in Isaiah, look at what the light brings. In this passage that we read, the people walking in darkness, they've seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. What does that mean? It means you've enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you, as people rejoice at harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. What is it that the angels say when they appear to the shepherds in the passage that Sean read for us? Verse 10 of Luke 2, it says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people.'" Guess what? Yeah, that's the same word. Mega joy for all people. The wise men, they're overwhelmed with joy. They followed this light, the star, and has led them to this child. And there before them, in the face of this baby, through the gloom and the fear and the darkness, to those living in utter darkness, a light has dawned. As we've already discussed, we all have our own experiences of darkness in our lives. Most of us have experienced the loss of loved ones. We've all experienced what it's like to be sick. We've all seen pain and suffering happen to us and because of us. When we look out the window, when we read the newspaper, when we turn on the TV, we look at the internet, and we hear about all of the violence spreading all over the world. And even in the privacy of our own hearts, we find that we are not at rest. We do not have peace. We also walk and dwell in a land of darkness. And that's the thing. If all we had were our own predictions of what the future would hold, if that's all that we could look into the future and see from our human perspective, if that's all that we could look at, then that is all that we would have to hope for, is just more violence and death and destruction, finally leading into utter darkness of our own deaths. But remember what it says in Isaiah chapter 8. It says, that's what you'll see if all you have is a human perspective. But Isaiah says, the word of God has spoken. The word has spoken into the darkness. Let there be light. God's word has spoken to us, and they have not been words of death and destruction and hopelessness. They have been words of light. Let there be light. Brothers and sisters, if you are struggling in darkness, and the truth is we all are, hear this good news this morning. The light has dawned. The sun, the true sun, has come over the horizon. His light is pouring over all of the earth. And listen here, if you want a sure prediction, if you want a prediction of the future that you can hold on to with utter surety, it is this: if light has dawned, then the day is sure to follow. Indeed, it's already here. And with the dawn of light, with the dawn of day, comes joy. Yeah, let's say it. Hallelujah. That's the point. Rejoice, brothers and sisters. The night has passed. The light has dawned. The King is here. Jesus Christ is born. As my favorite theologian, Karl Barth, tried to sum up in one simple phrase, he said, the whole of the Christian message is bound up in this one simple thing to understand. He said, something as simple, a four-year-old in Sunday school could understand it. Why can't we understand it? The world was broken. Jesus is born. Rejoice! Rejoice! The night is over, brothers and sisters. Go out into the day. Rejoice in the light. And share this news, this good news of mega joy with everyone you meet so that they also can share in our joy at the coming of the King. Merry Christmas.